Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, James Hamm over yonder. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube sponsors this program. We're hanging out with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. And D'Lo and KC will take you right into the weekend. An exciting weekend in the NFL, week four. And a big game for the 49ers, big game for the Raiders. We'll dive into those games individually here. We need to ease up on Brandon Ayuk, though. I understand he got paid. I understand that he made a stink about getting paid. I understand people are frustrated and that he has to catch the damn football when it gets thrown to him. Like, no question. And if you want to be frustrated by the drops, 100%. He has more drops already through 3 weeks this year than he had all of last season. It's been an undeniably frustrating start. On the other hand, it's not all him.
No.
The ball has to be thrown to an open receiver, and I think this is partially on him because he missed camp, and I think that Brock Purdy and he are just not on the same page yet. And Purdy, I don't want to say throwing blind, but those ones where he's just really trusting that the receiver's going to be in a spot, I don't think he's quite there yet with Ayuk. I think they'll get there. But it's not all on, it's not like Ayuk is suddenly bad at football.
No, I totally agree. And like, what you have to hope is that, you know, over the course of the last couple of weeks, that him and Purdy have had time to develop a little bit of chemistry off the field like they had the last couple of years. I'd point out that, you know, Brock Purdy, of course, hurt his back and was a little light in practice early in the week. So there's a possibility they didn't get a bunch of extra time. But there is a point where, you know, as you're we watched it last night with CeeDee Lamb, right? Mm-hmm. CeeDee Lamb is slowly becoming CeeDee Lamb that we've known for the last like three seasons.
Yeah, good player.
And you know, again, he's a player who decided to like I believe he did the same exact thing that Ayuk did during training camp. He was there, but he wasn't playing. Or was he not there at all? Either way, I think that there was some chemistry issues early on, but by week four, now we're starting to see the player that we know from the previous seasons. And I would kind of put Ayuk in that same boat that by this point, there's enough time for him to get his legs under him. There's enough time for him to get some timing. There's enough time for him to build some chemistry with Brock Purdy again. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to start seeing like his ability to get separation. You're going to start seeing the, you know, his route being run perfectly as opposed to maybe what it was before, and then maybe a little bit more trust from Purdy.
So on the CeeDee Lamb front, just to your point, 5 catches for 61 yards in week one on 10 targets. He had 4 for 90 against New Orleans with a touchdown, but they got blown out in that game. The game script was weird. He had 7 targets. 4 for 67 against Baltimore, but again, they were getting blown out. Weird game script, but that was on 7 targets. Last night, 7 catches, 98 yards on just 8 targets. He also had 3 carries for 8 yards and had that long 55-yard touchdown. Like you said, it looked a little more like the dominant CeeDee Lamb instead of the it was more efficient with Lamb yesterday. And I'm expecting that to come from Brandon Ayuk eventually. But this week, check this out. You heard me mention this with Faraz. Christian Gonzalez of the Patriots, second-year player. If you're unfamiliar with him, Oregon legend, Skoducks, and he got hurt last year. I think got a shoulder injury early last season, so he barely played his rookie year. In 3 weeks this year, the Patriots have played the Bengals, and Christian Gonzalez, when matched up against Ja'Marr Chase, 3 catches for 15 yards on 3 targets. Week two, DK Metcalf, this is what Faraz and I just talked about. 7 targets, 4 catches, 27 yards. Garrett Wilson, last week, 9 targets, 5 catches, 33 yards. He did get a touchdown. So Christian Gonzalez this year has been targeted 19 times. He's allowed 12 catches for 75 yards and a touchdown. Quarterbacks have an 88.7 passer rating when targeting him. I think Brandon Ayuk will get a couple of catches this week, but I don't think the breakout 10 catch, 120 yards, and a touchdown game is happening this week. Because I think Christian Gonzalez is going to cover Brandon Ayuk a lot.
So are you saying you would start Juwan Jennings in a fantasy league?
I got to see what's happening with Kittle and Deebo first. That'll have more impact on Juwan Jennings for me if people are thinking about starting him. But I'm just not. Hey, is Brandon Ayuk good at football still standpoint? If he goes out and has a slow week this week, I'm not necessarily chalking that up to anything other than, man, Christian Gonzalez, heck of a player. Now, maybe he doesn't get matched up with Christian Gonzalez at all and still doesn't produce, in which case we can have a different conversation. But my guess is the Patriots are going to work hard to make sure he's covering Brandon Ayuk and trying to make sure that Brandon Ayuk is not putting up huge numbers. And against number one receivers, that's what Christian Gonzalez has done this year. He's shut him out.
Yeah, he's been really good at limiting especially their run after the catch. It sounds like, you know, that's, would you say, 11 catches for 75 yards. So
12 for 75, less, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So less than, you know, 7 yards a catch.
Yeah.
That's impressive. What do we have for updates on Deebo and Kittle?
Yeah, so Deebo returned to practice yesterday. He's dealing with a calf injury. A little bit of a surprise that he came back yesterday, and I can't decide if that means that, oh, he's going to be good to go, or if they're eyeing next week and they just want to kind of get him ramped up. But he was limited yesterday. It is notable that he was back in practice, though. And then George Kittle has been limited the last 2 days. My guess is that George Kittle plays because he was doubtful last week, which meant like there's a small chance he plays, and then they ruled him out Saturday. So it sounds like he's trending the right way. My guess is he plays. With Deebo, I'm leaning that he doesn't play, but I would be willing to bet he's like questionable for this week.
Okay.
I'm not ready to lean on him just yet.
So Jennings is probably still a really strong play, and it really does depend on how that game goes. I would say for one more week, Jennings feels like he's a strong play, and I feel bad for people who went out and spent a bunch of their money on, you know, if you're playing in a league where you're bidding on players.
Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, if you're bidding a bunch of money on a guy, I would at least give him one start because he's coming off 11 catches for 175 yards and 3 touchdowns. I mean, that's a crazy, crazy, you know, week, a breakout week. So
here's where I'm at on this. When you have a player who has a game where he scores 40 freaking fantasy points.
Yeah.
You can feel great about putting him in your lineup. Because look, I mean, the maybe he goes out and has a normal Juwan Jennings game where he has 4 catches and 38 yards and all 4 of his catches go for first downs. Maybe that's just it. Maybe that's what it's going to be. But here's the thing that I can't get out of my head. 4 of the 49ers' 5 longest pass plays this year have gone to Jennings. Purdy very clearly is comfortable getting him the football. Nothing Juwan Jennings did last Sunday from a contested catch standpoint was like out of the realm of possibility for him. That's just who he is as a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got a compromised Deebo Samuel, even if he plays, if you've got a compromised Deebo Samuel and you've got George Kittle playing it at 75%, you're in third and long. And I feel like Juwan Jennings is the player that Brock Purdy's going to lean on right now. Which may be a little bit of the problem with Brandon Ayuk, right? Like, that should be Brandon Ayuk. It should be third and long. Okay, hey, he's throwing it to number 11. That's a receiver he trusts. Yeah. But the reason I can see another kind of big Juwan Jennings game, not like a just for the record, I don't think it's going to be 11 catches, 175 yards, and 3 touchdowns. I'm ready to go out on that limb and say he doesn't do that again.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if you told me, yeah, Juwan Jennings got 9 targets and he caught 7 of them for 87 yards and a touchdown, I wouldn't, like, yeah, sure. I wouldn't doubt that at all. So I'm absolutely, from a fantasy perspective, from a just getting ready and watching the game perspective, I could absolutely see Juwan Jennings being a factor, even with Brandon Ayuk and all those other guys on the field, just because he's healthy, Purdy clearly trusts him, and he's been his go-to guy. Remember, here's the other thing. Remember before week 3, the Niners had a huge fourth down in that game in Minnesota, and Brock Purdy made a tight window throw to Juwan Jennings like 25 yards down the field.
Oof.
He'll throw it to Jennings in a tough spot. And I can definitely see that being a factor moving forward. But we're kind of coming out of the game going, hey, should they have paid Juwan Jennings $30 million? I think that wouldn't shock me at all if that's the sentiment after Sunday.
I remember it was week one. I sent you a text. They got a steal with Juwan Jennings on a two-year $15 million deal.
Yeah.
You could see it right away. Like, oh, the connection is there. And especially if you're going to have situations where guys are healthy or not healthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a really, really good luxury to have. And, so far he's been exceptional. He's third in the NFL in receiving yards.
Yeah, man. He's been,
which speaks to the, really good. You know, the receiving yards being down, but also to his one big week.
All that said, the Niners need big games from whoever they can get them from. Because please understand that this is not the literal definition. I'm not talking literally. But from a putting yourself on the right track standpoint, this is must-win stuff for the 49ers on Sunday. If you're going to be a team that is in the hunt for a number one seed, which they say they want to be, okay. All right, fine. If you want to be that team, then you have to go, to me, not only win on Sunday, but you kind of got to go dominate. I don't care about the injury situation. They should have beat the Rams by a couple of scores, and they didn't because of like execution stuff. And that's where you can't have that here against the Patriots. We talked yesterday, the Cowboys and Giants game was very, very similar to where the 49ers are at, right? The Cowboys needed to beat the Giants. You can't fall to 1-3 and consider yourself serious, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to go win. And the Cowboys did that. They win 20-15. But dude, if the 49ers go beat the Patriots 20-15 and the Patriots have the ball at the end of the game with a chance to win it, that's not serious to me, dude. The Patriots are not good. You got to go beat the hell out of them.
Yeah, this is a team where you need to cover the spread. You need to show that you're that team again, right? Mm-hmm. And like again, we watched to compare them to Dallas. We saw Dallas go up against a Giants team that's kind of finding themselves as all of a sudden Daniel Jones has found neighbors, and you know, so they've got this little bit of connection and some excitement. But to barely beat the Giants, a division rival, when you're supposed to be the big dog in your division, it's just not good. Like they don't look like they're a good team, and then they lose Micah Parsons, and you know, so what I need to see is for the Niners to show that they're not on that same path that the Cowboys are, that they're a much better team than what we've seen so far, and that they're not going to let games that they should win, like last week, slip away, and that they're going to get back on the right path.
Yeah, man, that's I give the Cowboys a little bit of grace because Thursday night games are weird. Division games are weird. Road division Thursday night games, really tough. But we've seen the Niners go into Seattle the last 2 years in that exact situation and do that, and get a win, and get a solid win. If the Niners go out on Sunday, not on a short week, not on a road, not against a division opponent. They have to go beat a bad AFC team at home. Go dominate that game. Even if Deebo Samuel's out, even if George Kittle's out, they have the horses to do it. And they got injuries on the defensive line. Totally. That's going to hurt. It's going to hurt more against teams that are not the Patriots, though. Like the Cardinals might cook whatever version of the defensive line the 49ers roll out against them in week five. But this week, if you want to stay in the serious conversation for one more week, you have to dominate this game on Sunday. You take a win. You will chalk up a W however you can get one, right? But at the same time, if they go beat the Patriots 20-15 and it's the exact same type of game the Cowboys had, it's not going to be coming in here like, hey, the Niners are back, baby. It's going to be like, what the hell? You can't even cover against the Patriots? Now you got to go beat the brakes off somebody, dude. They haven't been playing well enough to just go, oh, yeah, just sneak by with the win. No, go play well. Go be a dominant team. Go be a Super Bowl contender against a rebuilding team. That's it. That is. I don't give a damn about the injury stuff. They're still good enough to go dominate. So go do it. And if you can't, let's have a different conversation.
I'd say the one downfall to this game is that the the Patriots have been really good running the ball early in the season, and the 49ers offensive line, I mean, defensive line is, you know, again, they'll be starting like a third string defensive tackle in this game.
Yeah,
it's not great.
So if you missed it, which I wouldn't blame you if it did, Javon Hargrave, of course, out with a partially torn triceps, but it was also reported yesterday after practice, Cam Inman of the Bay Area News Group reported that Jordan Elliott, who's the 49ers' third defensive tackle, was carted off, and he was officially listed as a limited participant in practice with a foot injury.
Oof.
John Lynch went on the radio in the Bay Area today and said that there's no official designation yet, but he would consider Jordan Elliott questionable for Sunday. Why does this matter? That's a big guy in the trenches. You know, we're worried about the playmakers, right? Well, here's why it matters. That means the 49ers will ostensibly be starting a fourth string defensive tackle.
Oof.
Alongside Malik Collins, who's like their number two. And then aside from that, the Niners are constantly rotating. So now you're rotating down to your fifth, sixth, seventh defensive tackles. They might have to call up two guys just to play that position from the practice squad. They're in bad shape in the middle of their defensive line. And this is on top of a defense that was already in disarray. This is on top of a defense that already couldn't get off the field on third down with third and short, third and long, whatever. So now you have a good running team in the Patriots who are going to be able to, or theoretically could be able to get into second and third and short really consistently, where now it doesn't matter what your personnel is. Getting a stop on third and short is hard.
Yeah.
And I think the Patriots are going to be able to attack what has suddenly become a very real weakness for the 49ers, where I think the Niners have the players to go fix that. I think they have a good coaching staff to overcome those injury problems and scheme up what they need to scheme up to avoid having Kevin Givens and T.Y. McGill doing too much in terms of run stopping. But man, that's where this could get sideways. I agree with you, because if the Patriots are getting Jacoby Brissett into second or third and short, like I said, it doesn't matter what your personnel is. That's a hard situation to live in.
I totally agree. Hey, Kyle, we do have some news coming up.
Yeah. And
we got
our
guys.
D'Lo
and Casey. Yeah. Our guys D'Lo and Casey will have Kings superstar center Domantas Sabonis on at 12:50. Let's go. Got a little Domas.
Oh, that's not what
Love
I wanted.
It.
Hang on. Turn that down. Had Domantas Sabonis on this very radio station at 12:50. Hell yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, so tap in. Make sure to lock in. Of course, lock in with us 10 a.m. to noon every single day. We're here Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
We're doing the show 10 a.m. to noon. We hand it off to D'Lo and KC. And D'Lo and KC at 12:50 are going to have Domantas Sabonis. So stick around just all day. Just hang out. We're vibing. We're here. We're talking sports. We're having a great time.
That's what you should be doing anyways.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And if you miss the show, where should they get the show if they miss the show, Kyle?
Well, if they miss this program, James, that's a great question. You can subscribe to the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show wherever you get your podcasts. And you might be like, why isn't it called The Insiders? I don't know. That's for people who make more money than I do. It's called the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show. It's the podcast version of this program. So you have a couple of options. One, you can do that because you only get to listen to a little. And you go, hey, I want to catch something I missed, or maybe you want to re-listen to something. Option number two is you already listened to the whole show and you're like, if I want to revisit it, I can go back on YouTube or whatever. That's all great, but help us out. Help out your boys. And just subscribe to the pod. You can go. You don't even have to give it a listen if you don't want. Just hit that subscribe button wherever you get your pods, and we would appreciate the hell out of it. Thank you, everybody who has done that already. Thank you, everybody who will do that. How do the Niners get a win on Sunday? James, let's get to 49ers keys to victory, number one.
Ooh. My first key, protect Brock Purdy at all costs. The dude's got back problems, and a lot of that, it's because he's shouldering the load of everything. And you got to protect this dude. He's taken a couple of big hits, even if he's not getting sacked a bunch. He has taken some hits, and they need to figure out a way to protect him.
Yeah, man, that's big time. Interesting thing from 49ers offensive line coach Chris Forster yesterday. It sounds like the Niners are working out a couple of different players, moving a couple of guys to right tackle in practice. Mm. So down the line here, we might see a little bit of a shakeup on the 49ers offensive line. Key number one for me, you got to get off the field on third down, man. You can't let the Patriots start sustaining drives. You can't let them stay in the game. You got a touchdown early, but hey, there's a 16-play touchdown drive to score the game. That's not acceptable. You have to get off the field.
I totally agree. It's been a problem that's plagued him throughout the early part of this season. Just figure it out.
More on the third down woes coming up on Mad Props in about 30 minutes here. Not even that. About 10 minutes. James, number two.
Force Brissett or May to beat you. I don't know who's going to start a quarterback. It doesn't matter. Neither one of them are very good. Mm-hmm. This team is super unbalanced. Well, they are super balanced. They're like basically 175 yards passing, 180 yards rushing. That's kind of who they are. Mm-hmm. You need to figure out a way to stop those guys.
Yeah.
You need to figure out a way to stop the run and make those guys beat you.
Yep. I couldn't agree more. If you can get them, and the way you do that is getting them in second and third and long. Make them drop back. Make them throw it. I'm guessing it'll be Jacoby Brissett. And part of the thing is they just don't have the horses in the passing game.
Yeah.
Even if Jacoby Brissett was this awesome quarter, and he's fine, but there's not a ton of weapons there for him. Number two for me, no special teams shenanigans. No big kickoff returns. No big punt returns. No weird fake punts. I don't need any of that. No special team shenanigans. Do what you got to do. And if you're expecting a fake punt, get a stop.
That's right.
Number three, James.
For me, the money guys need to step up. They got a bunch of guys on this roster that make a ton of money. And whether it's Trent Williams or it's Warner or it's Bosa or it's Ayuk or it's Kittle,
yep.
These are your money guys. And when you mention the Patriots and how they don't have the specialty players, they almost do the opposite of what the 49ers do. They don't pay specialty guys. They don't pay your perimeter receivers, mm-hmm. and your all-star superstar running backs. They build their team a different way. Well, the 49ers do, and they need these guys to be a big piece of how this season turns around. It needs to happen now.
Yeah. Yeah, man. A players got to be A players. That's it. Fred Warner was, it went under the radar because he's usually so good and a million other things happened. Fred Warner was putrid last week. And straight up, he's got to be better. Nick Bosa, flat out, has to be better. That's kind of the long and short of it. I couldn't agree more with you there. Number three for me, hey, normally we do the turnover bit here, like win the turnover battle, but we're scrapping that this week. You still got to do that, but that's not a key to victory. Maybe in a huge spot, don't throw it at Ronnie Bell. I don't know.
Can I get an amen?
Maybe if there's a big point in the game, a big third down, maybe don't throw it to number 10. You want to throw it to him early. Maybe you want to try and get him involved, you know, get his confidence back, and you want to throw him a little screen pass earlier or something. That's fine. You know, I rock with that idea. A little slant, little something. Okay, fine. Big spot. I don't even want him on the field, dog. I want no parts.
Second down. Find him in second down. Let him get some burn.
There you
go. First down, pass, all that stuff. Yep.
One score game in the fourth quarter. Don't want him on the field.
Nope.
Not even a little bit.
Not a little bit. No.
Oh, man.
We're on the same page, Kyle.
Thank God. Dang. What's the one question you're hoping D'Lo and Casey asked Domantas Sabonis? Domantas Sabonis, if you missed it, by the way, if you happened to tune in the last 8 minutes, Domantas Sabonis joining this very radio station, D'Lo and Casey. He will be on at 12:50 today, so in about an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah. I think the one thing I'm kind of curious about is how much did he learn from the 1 week that he was with DeMar DeRozan and how he can integrate him into their system and how he can, you know, sort of play off of him and build like some chemistry as a two-man game partner. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the one thing that I would like to know. Outside of that, you know, it wasn't that long ago we talked to Domas at his basketball camp, and I still think that, you know, there's a lot we can learn from these guys, but I want to see him on the court. So, yeah.
I would ask him why the hell he doesn't shoot the ball more.
Oh, would you?
holding his feet to the fire.
No. I have never been someone who thinks that Domas needs to shoot more. I think he shoots.
Domas, put the ball on the rim, bro.
The games where he shoots six times, though, yeah, okay. But outside of that, like, I think he does everything within the flow of the offense, and I'm totally fine with it.
Oh, man. All right. We've got mad props coming up. Is this a must win for the Raiders? We'll talk about that. Kings Media Day is on Monday. We got to get into that. So much to get to coming up on the Insiders. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Kyle Madsen here, James Hamm over there. Also joining us.
What?
Yeah, also joining us, the producer of D-Lo and KC, Jesse Tapia, in the building. He's going to join us for mad props, if that's okay, James.
James, is that okay with you?
James, that sounds right? Great. Are you going to ask Domas a tough question? Are you going to ask him if he's going
to
shoot the ball
yeah,
more?
Yeah, dude, you got to hold his feet to the fire.
I guess that's what
ask
you
him why
want
he doesn't shoot
me.
More threes.
Imagine I just pop up, Domas, what's up with the shots, bro?
More like, why aren't you more like Kristaps Porzingis? That's what you should ask him.
Fair question.
Jesse Tapia joined Mad Props last week. And hey, this is a lot more fun when we have three people doing it. So you're just going to join us now.
Sounds good.
This is now a bit that you're in on. As we get ready for D'Lo and KC here on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, let's get to Mad Props.
It's time for Mad Props. Yeah, two games, two props. Which number will be higher? That's for Kyle and James to decide. Here's Mad Props.
Yeah, here it is, sponsored by nobody. Could be sponsored by you. Typically, we'll do a Niner game and a Kings game, but because there's no basketball on just yet, very soon, though, right around the corner, we'll get to more of that in a second, we're doing the Niner game and the Raider game. Picking two different things, two different props that I've made up.
Raiders game I was thinking about on the way here. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, it'd be a nice little win. It'd be a nice little win if they could beat the Browns.
Yeah.
All right, so James, here we go. I'm going to throw the first one to you. Juwan Jennings targets or Zamir White rushing attempts?
Ooh.
Targets for 49ers wide receiver Juwan Jennings or rushing attempts for Raiders running back Zamir White?
Ooh, I'm going to go Zamir White here. I think he'll get 8 to 10 carries, even though that defense is still formidable. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Juwan Jennings is going to get that many targets.
Jesse?
Yeah, I'm going to go Zamir White in this one. Juwan Jennings is going to get his, but it won't be as much as it was last week, I think.
I'm going to go the same way because I think a high target game for Juwan Jennings might be 7 or 8 targets.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Zamir White, even if he's not super productive, is 10 to 12 games.
Mm.
Jesse, 49ers total points or Gardner Minshew passing attempts?
Ooh, I'm gonna go Gardner Minshew passing attempts.
Okay.
I don't know if they're gonna be able to run the ball that great. So they're gonna be forced to throw the ball out in this one, I think.
Yeah, I think so too, James.
I'm gonna go 49ers. But yep. Give me what the question is again.
Perfect. 49ers total points or Gardner Minshew passing attempts?
Yeah, yeah, 49ers total points. I think Minshew's going to get in trouble with that Browns defensive line, and we might see Aiden O'Connell again. And the transfer of power from one bad quarterback to another.
That's a good call. I have
news real quick that might affect this.
Okay, go ahead.
Davante Adams is out on Sunday, as is Max Crosby. That's defense or whatever. So just updates that Michael Myers out on Sunday.
Oh my god. Okay, yeah. So no Max Crosby, no Davante Adams. James, does that change your pick here?
No, I'm solidifying my pick with that.
I'm trying to decide if I trust the 49ers offense to score 30 plus.
The Patriots defense is like good too. It's not one of the top of the top or whatever, but
I'm going Minshew.
I'm gonna stick with Minshew too.
Okay, very good.
I'm going Niners.
All right. The next one, I'll go first on this one. 49ers sacks or Raiders turnovers. I'm going Raiders turnovers on this because I don't think the 49ers are gonna get a sack on Sunday.
Not one.
Actually, you know what?
Maybe two.
I feel committed now.
A Gardner Minshew interception, maybe a sack from Leonard Floyd and one from Nick Bosa. That's how you get it right there.
Yeah, like Leonard Floyd's got to bounce back. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm changing it. Jesse, you swung me there. I'm going with the Niners. I think this is going to be one of those things where I feel like the opposite of a thing always happens in the NFL. Like you think, oh man, this team's got all these defensive linemen out. They're not going to be able to rush the passer. And then, oh, lo and behold, they're doing something different defensively now. The other offense wasn't ready for it. I think we're going to get a bounce back Leonard Floyd game at some point. I've got to lean on the idea that Nick Bosa is going to break out eventually.
You'd expect your elite player to do so.
Yeah, so I like that. James, who do you got?
I am going Niners, I think, especially if New England decides to mix it up with our quarterback play, Pango Brissett, and then start to pepper in May. That's where you get the sacks on those young quarterbacks.
Jesse?
Yeah, I'm going to go 49ers, too.
All right, it's a clean sweep for the 49ers, just like the first one was a clean sweep for the Raiders. All right, number four. It's an interesting one. Jordan Mason receiving yards. This is for James. Jordan Mason receiving yards or tackles by Raiders linebacker Robert Spillane.
Oh, man. I saw what happened with Kyle's prize pick last
brutal.
Week, and it was vicious.
Just
it was
brutal.
Horrible. He needed 12, and he got 11 and a half, right?
Yeah, I got 11.
He got 11. He got 11. Yeah, I'm going to go Raiders there. I'm going to go with their linebacker who's been playing really well.
Yeah, he has. Jesse?
How many receiving yards did Jordan Mason have last week?
11.
11? I'm going to go Jordan Mason. I'm going to go Jordan Mason.
Here's what I'm waiting on with Jordan Mason. At some point, he's going to catch a ball in the flat with nobody in front of him.
Exactly. Like he needs one catch for 15 yards.
At some point, that's going to happen. It's what I thought would happen last week. It didn't. I think it's going to happen this week.
There we go.
Against a little bit better Patriot, or the Patriots defense is way better than the Rams. I'm expecting Jordan Mason to have that big catch at some point. And Robert Spillane's been as good as any off-ball linebacker in the league this year. You pencil him in 11, 12 tackles. But I'm thinking there's one big catch in there for Jordan Mason. Jesse, Brandon Ayuk receiving yards or total points in the Raiders-Browns game?
Oh, Brandon Ayuk receiving yards. All he needs is about maybe 27 receiving yards, and that might do it.
To clear the total?
Bro, this is going to be an ugly game. It's going to be defense, defense, defense. Like, how are the Raiders supposed to score on Sunday? Brock Bowers, you're on one of my fantasy teams, so salute to you. But I guess Jacoby Myers, Patriots great out there.
James?
It's not going to take much, bro.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that there's going to be that much scoring, so I'm going Ayuk.
Deshaun Watson can't play quarterback. It's going to be ugly.
I'll rock with Raiders, Browns total score.
All right, you're going to lose that one, I guess.
Contrarian.
Yeah, we'll start with that one on Monday.
Okay, great. let's see. No Max Crosby, no Malcolm Kuntz. I think that you're going to see Deshaun Watson and Amari Cooper and Jerome Ford. No David Njoku this week. Tyler Conklin out for the Browns. Oh, my God. This might be like 6-0.
Yes, I'm telling you. All Brandon Ayuk needs to do is catch two passes. Like, all right, we won that one.
All right, I've made the pick. I'm sticking with it.
All right.
I'm rooting for points. I'll do this one. Patriots third down conversion rate or Raiders total rushing yards. And I put this down, and then I went to look up the numbers to see if they were even close. I thought maybe, hey, you're underestimating the Raiders' run game. It hasn't been that bad. No. The Raiders average 51 rushing yards per game as a team. 51. The 49ers' opponents are averaging 52.9% on third downs this year.
Blake, go ahead. You go first on this one.
I am going... I'm going Patriots third down percentage.
All right, that's where I'm going too.
Yeah.
Gardner Minshew might have to win this game on Sunday for the Raiders. Like, Cleveland's defense is legit. I don't think the Raiders haven't been able to run the ball all this season. You literally just let throughout the stat. I'm gonna go with the Patriots third down percentage.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the same. It's a clean sweep.
Another clean sweep. I just like, I'm envisioning a version of this game. That's mad props. Thanks everybody for playing along. We'll revisit Monday. The thing I keep envisioning in this game is the Patriots just living in second and four because they're able to run the ball so effectively. And okay, maybe they kick a bunch of field goals and they can't score in the red zone. Maybe they turn it over a couple times. Maybe the couple times they get into third and long, they can't convert. So I could see the Niners winning pretty handily. But on the other hand, they beat the Jets pretty good in week one. 32-19 was the final there. It was 32-12 before a garbage time touchdown by the Jets. And the Jets went 60% on third downs. That's just...
The Niners have their issues on defense, but I don't know if the Patriots just have enough to get it going on offense this week. So it's gonna if the Patriots have any chance, it's gonna be ugly. Like a defensive game, I think.
Wait, did
the offense can't move the ball or anything like that?
We all picked the Raiders to have more rushing yards than the Patriots, their down percentage?
No, we picked all the Patriots to have better their down percentage.
Okay. I wrote that down wrong. So thankfully I asked because I was like, man, this doesn't sound like
I thought the Niners were gonna hold them under that.
Oh no, we've lost it now.
Okay, revisiting. Hang on, we got.
Oh no! Hit the music.
Fire the music back up. We're back. Ugh! Beat dropped in the middle of that. What number will be higher, the Patriots' third down conversion rate or the Raiders' total rushing yards?
Oh, I'm gonna go Raiders.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so you think the Raiders will have more rushing yards than the Patriots' third down conversion rate? Okay, Jesse.
I'm gonna stick with it. I'm going to stick with the Patriots third down. I don't know. They're both.
It's tough.
Yes,
that's the
it's
game.
Tough. Like
that's
they're saying the in the chatty house, like the Browns starting line's going to be hurt. But it's like, yes, the Raiders just running game just stinks, though.
They have 51 rushing yards per game.
I'm going to go.
And you've got their coach talking about how they can't learn zone blocking.
And it's like on the other side, it's like, okay, but there's Jacoby Brissett. Like Ramondre Stevenson might get us a couple first downs or whatever when we need it on third down. But I guess I'll just stick. I'm not
going
to second guess it. I'm going to stick with the Patriots third down percentage.
That's what I'm doing too. And James, you're going Raiders rushing yards.
I am.
You're buying into the Niners defense.
Yep.
Perfect.
This week.
All right.
Only.
There it is.
Good stuff. Glad we cleared that up.
Yeah. Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate you, man.
All right. See you guys.
All right. You can hear Jesse on D'Lo and KC coming up in about 15 minutes. And speaking of coming up in about 15 minutes, in about one hour, Domantas Sabonis, King Superstar Center, will be joining D'Lo and KC. What question would you ask Domas? Or what question do you want to hear the guys ask Domas that's not cereal related? Trying to figure that
all
out.
All right. Yeah.
Trying to hold his feet to the fire. You know, why don't you put the ball in the rim? I want to see 28 points a game. Domas, what's up? That's all. No, it's just that's it. It's not crazy. No, I think you hit the nail on the head, James, and we'll transition to King's talk here because King's Media Day is on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
And then the day after that, training camp starts. Like, basketball season is nigh. I refuse to say basketball is back. NBA basketball, let me clarify. NBA basketball will not be back until the first opening season or opening night tip-off of the regular season.
Yep.
That is when basketball is officially back. It's not training camp. It's not the preseason. That's my take.
Okay.
Basketball is nigh, though. It is right there. Where are we at with the Kings? I feel like right now, we talked about this a little the other day, but it feels like, hey, this is a 50-win playoff team, chance for more. Like everything, like the vibes feel really, really good again after being down for most of last year.
Yeah, I think that's where we're at. You're in wait and see mode. We got to see how, you know, everything cooks in the pot here and how they integrate DeMar DeRozan into the system. But this team looks much improved. They look like they went out and, I mean, you go out and you add a star level player, a guy who instantly becomes your third best player and allows players like Keegan Murray and Malik Monk to maybe fit into better roles as like fourth, fifth best players on your team. You know, you're going to get a healthy Kevin Huerter early in the season. You know, you've added some nice pieces like Jordan McLaughlin, who I think can just by shooting alone can provide as much or more than what we had last year from Davion Mitchell. Davion Mitchell, I think, is a great defender, but his inability to consistently hit the three did hurt the team at certain points. And you get a Keon Ellis that is a little more comfortable in his skin and ready to roll. And you know, I'm sure he's been hitting the weight room heavy and maybe added a few pounds during the summer, and he might be ready to play a huge role from early in the season.
Damian Barling from here for the handoff. D'Lo and KC coming up in about 10 minutes and about an hour. Domantas Sabonis is going to be here. And Damian, you're welcome, by the way. Just letting you know ahead of time. You don't even have to say thanks. It's okay. James and I have got you. We have, so you guys can, you know, take it easy and really enjoy the Domantas Sabonis interview. Mm-hmm. We've asked the Chatty House for question recommendations, and we're getting some
Jesus
good ones.
Christ.
So okay. I've starred all those for you, so they're in there.
Yeah.
You got to ask about his favorite cereal, obviously.
Of course.
I'm trying to find out why he's not scoring 30 a night. You got to ask him that.
Okay. I got an idea. How about we talk about the series that he's starring in on October 9th and is here to promote? How about we talk about that?
Yeah. October 9th, Netflix.
So
anyways,
we don't piss off the Kings organization, who I'm not quite sure likes us very much anyways. The great part about this is you got this is true behind the scenes story. I was calling because I was angry. That's why I was calling the Kings. Shannon calls me back and is like, hey, I know you want to talk about Media Day, but you guys want Domas at 12:50? I don't think you got our email. We go over this whole thing about how she sent an email out, but James may have gotten it, but D'Lo and KC didn't, and James is sick, and she wants James to get better in this whole thing. Anyways, Domas is available at 12:50. You guys want him? Yeah.
Okay, yes, that would also be,
that would be terrific. Okay, great. Send me the link, and can we talk later? All right, man. No problem, Shannon. We'll talk later. This is a
she just did this.
House, questions for Shannon. Send them over.
You won't understand this reference at all, Damian, but she just went, these are not the droids you're looking for.
Nope.
Star Wars.
Do not get that reference at all.
That's so, what she just did.
But she took great care of us. No clue. Absolutely none.
Okay, so
Jedi mind trick.
Netflix starting five.
Yeah.
Are you going to ask about the juxtaposition between his outfit and Anthony Edwards' outfit?
Yeah, I mean, we'll have some fun with the red carpet special and the trailer and some of that stuff. And I think they would be okay if we threw in a few DeMar DeRozan questions and outlook on the season. But
sure.
I'm excited to talk about this series and, you know, what it's like to be in a series with LeBron and Ant-Man and Tatum and you know, some of the big dogs in the NBA and you know, what that means for you. I know if Matt Graham is listening. Matt, I love you. I just hate this Jiffy Lube logo right over James's face.
In the three box.
James is a good looking guy, and we got the Jiffy Lube logo. James solely is brought to you by Jiffy Lube.
It doesn't help that when I stand, I block the Jiffy Lube logo on the screen behind me. So let me stand off to the side like this. Everybody, get your car serviced to Jiffy Lube.
There is
brakes,
one. There's
oil,
literally one right there.
Whatever you need.
Right there.
Yeah, but there's more.
Okay.
Over there.
Just trying to help.
Love Matt if you're listening.
Yeah, Matt's the very best. Shout out to Jiffy Lube. I had another Domas question to pitch you.
Oh.
I can't remember what it was.
You're pitching me questions.
Oh, yeah. It's not about the Starting Five documentary, which airs October 9th
That's
on Netflix.
Fine. Okay.
Domantas Sabonis at 12:50 on this very radio station, by the way. We're inside of an hour. Can you ask him about the Killer D's nickname?
No, absolutely not. That question is completely out of bounds, and we need to pull Vivek Ranadive aside and tell him, look, man, we're not mature enough for this. Like, you cannot be putting tweets out there like
that. If there
is
Killer D's merchandise,
no,
it's going to be a problem.
No, and Drew Down is going to buy all of it.
All of it.
Literally all of it. He's a Warriors guy, and he will still buy all of that merchandise.
Absolutely. Real quick here. Sunday in the realm of a not literal, but definitely for the vibes, a must win for the Niners.
Yeah. Like, you know, they're not the Rams. Like, they're not Sean McVay. They're not a divisional opponent. You kind of need this one. And we tried to draw the correlation between the Cowboys and the 49ers. The Cowboys game last night, what the 49ers have to do. The Cowboys win last night. They did not look good last night. I thought Dak did. I thought Dak looked really good. The Cowboys as a whole look like, yeah, they have problems. They exhibited the problems we talked about. They got to win, and in the end, it's just kind of like, okay, good. You got to win. That's what the 49ers are facing. Like this, the reaction on Monday if they lose is massive.
Mm-hmm.
The reaction if they win is minimal.
I agree.
And the balance between the two is going to be very, very different. So, yes, vibes, they need to get this win. Their schedule is going to get it's going to start to change a little bit.
I think they need to dominate.
I don't care as much about that.
The Cowboys, like I said, to give a little bit of a pass to the Cowboys because it's a Thursday night game on the road, mm-hmm. division opponent.
Mm-hmm.
If the Niners beat the Patriots 20-15 and the Patriots have the ball with a chance to win at the end.
That's a problem. Yeah, that's not the best. Yeah. That's not the best.
Neither is this.
Why is this happening? No, this is fantastic.
Why is this happening?
No, we're a billion-dollar multimedia
Jesse,
company.
Fix it.
Yeah, this is going great. Great.
So it's not me this time, it's you?
No, it's literally us. We're freezing inside the studio. This is perfect. We got an hour to fix this.
It says connection is unstable.
How awesome is this? Domantas Sabonis is going to join us and the internet is going to crash.
There it is. Frozen Domas?
I can't stress enough. Like, I will leave. I'll just leave.
You can.
I've been wanting to walk out on this show for about a week and a half. This just might be the day.
That would be actually a perfect time to reset the Netflix special. Like, hey, if you want to see Domas in crystal clear 4K Ultra HD,
yes.
Tune in to
Unless
the 5 on Netflix.
I'm the one that's frozen. Then that's a little bit of a problem.
I will take a troubleshooting step at the end of the show, which is coming up right now, to try and make that so it's not the case. And I'll walk you through how we do it.
Okay.
You leave the studio and then come back in.
Excellent.
That's what we're going to try.
Okay.
D'Lo and KC coming up next. Domantas Sabonis will join them at 12:50. More importantly, I'll join them at 12:15.
Most important guest of the day.
Yeah, 12:15 and 12:50. Yep. Yeah,
Jake
Gaten,
Eddie Gonzalez, all with us today.
Oh my God!
We gave James the pass. I had no idea James was going to be here. You can go to bed, James.
Yeah, no. What a
we have the whole 3 o'clock hour booked. You're good.
I'm fading a little bit.
We got you.
It's good.
I can't wait. I'll be tapped in. Everybody else tap in. James, thank you so much. Your flu game. We appreciate you hanging out and gutting that out. And we're done for the weekend. D'Lo and KC coming up next. We'll talk to you Monday at 10 a.m. on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Bye.